Martha and Mary from Luke's gospel is one of the most used and abused stories in the Bible. Over the centuries, this story has been twisted and spun to support whatever theological wind was blowing at the time. At the peak of the monastic movement, this text was cited as Jesus' endorsement of the contemplative life. Reformer John Calvin used this same text to claim that Jesus holds active service to be of greater importance. While some might see this text as an obvious sanction for the equal participation of women in all facets of Christian discipleship, there are those who claim that this text, in fact, supports the exact opposite stance. For them, Jesus chastises Martha because she did not fully and gratefully embrace her role in society. Reading and understanding the Bible can be a messy business. We want Bible stories to open up to us in clean and clear-cut ways, but biblical texts seem to design to resist grab-and-go wisdom. The Bible was crafted to lure us in to a glorious labyrinth of conversation, learning, and devotion. While there is no such thing as definitive biblical interpretation, we can strive to be true to the truth of the text. We must first acknowledge that we approach Scripture from our own context and with our own agendas. Of course, I am going to see the endorsement for a full woman, for a woman's full participation in the life of the church in the story in Martha and Mary, because I am a woman in a leadership role. Second, we need to honor that the texts of the Bible were written long ago in cultures vastly different than ours. We cannot go back and ask Luke what he meant, but we can take some educated stabs at Luke's intentions before we come to some conclusions about what the text means for us today. The author of Luke's gospel placed this story at the beginning of a section known as the travel narrative. This section is filled with teachings on discipleship, what being a faithful follower of Jesus means. If we look at this story as it is presented to us in the lectionary outside of the context in which it was placed, we could be tempted to say that this is just a story about the role of women. Mary breaks all sorts of norms, and instead of helping herself and her sister in the kitchen, as she was likely expected to do, Mary chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and listens to him teach. We could decide that the story of Martha and Mary is one in which Jesus gives the stereotypical roles of women, hospitality and household tasks, a secondary status. But wait. Does this interpretation make any sense, given that we are talking about a culture in which the ministry of hospitality was held in high esteem? We need to dig deeper. In this gospel, the story of Martha and Mary is right next to the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we heard last week. In that story, both a priest and a Levite who are traveling down from Jerusalem, where we can assume that they heard the teaching of God. Both men pass by a man at the side of the road who has been robbed, beaten, and left for dead. We should note that the teaching that the priest and the Levite have been listening to all their lives is clear that both of these men had a moral and legal obligation to stop and do something to help the man at the side of the road. Then along comes a Samaritan, one who has never heard the teaching of Israel's God, and yet he stops and does the right thing. What if we were to cast the same light on the story of Martha and Mary and consider this as a story of hearing and doing? We cannot overemphasize the importance of hearing and doing in Luke's gospel. For Luke, if we are to follow Jesus and to be his disciples, we are to have heard. In the story of Martha and Mary, Martha is a doer of God's word and offers her ministry of hospitality to Jesus. Mary is a hearer of God's word and offers her attentiveness to Jesus. Both are meet and right in the eyes of Jesus. So where does Martha go wrong? What is the better part that Mary has chosen? Jesus says to Martha, and I like to imagine him smiling and gentle when he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus is not criticizing Martha for choosing to serve him by offering hospitality. Jesus is not going after busy homemaker and outstanding cook Martha. He is chiding, worried, and distracted Martha. Martha's problem lies in succumbing to distraction while offering her ministry of hospitality. Mary remained focused on Jesus while listening. And Jesus would not allow Martha to take that away from her. To be genuine acts of discipleship, whether contemplative, active, or anything else, they need to maintain focus. If our hearing and our doing stray from being offerings of devotion to Jesus Christ, then our ministry becomes nothing more than self-righteous busy work, and we become angry, resentful, and frustrated. God wants our hearing and our doing to be joyful and joy-filled. Recently, multitasking has gotten a lot of media attention. Once heralded as a skill to be honed, multitasking is now being warned against. Mindfulness is the new multitasking. We are encouraged to be fully present to what we do and the people we are with. In a recent study, those distracted by incoming email, text messages, and phone calls saw a 10-point drop in their IQs. That is the equivalent of trying to work or study after losing an entire night's sleep. We trick ourselves into thinking we are accomplishing more, when in fact our productivity goes down as much as 40% when we try to multitask. Business consultant Peter Bergman, who blogs for the Harvard Business Review, considered himself a champion multitasker. Yet, for the sake of science, he decided to give up multitasking for 1 week. He was surprised and delighted by the outcome. Bergman found that he made significant progress on challenging projects. His stress level dropped considerably. He lost all patience for things he felt were not good uses of his time, and he found in tremendous patience for doing things he felt were useful and enjoyable. And most importantly, he was happier. He writes, and I quote, "I noticed this most dramatically when I was with my children. I shut my cell phone off and found myself much more deeply and engaged and present with them. I never realized how significantly a short moment of checking my email disengaged me from the people and things right there in front of me." Just because something is used and abused does not mean it is tired or worn out. Fresh and relevant meanings can be drawn from scripture written thousands of years ago if we leave ourselves open to the truth of the text for today. Jesus knew that Martha was not giving her ministry her full devotion. God knows when we are not giving God our full attention. So do our children, spouses, friends, business associates, and even strangers. God calls us to choose the better part.